You're listening to USA Votes 2016.
Welcome back. This is you're listening to the Bournemouth University election coverage with myself, Chuck Adolfi, and
Chloe DeSave.
And coming up next, we've got a lot on the agenda, Chloe.
Yes, we do, actually. We're talking about Trump and Hillary for the next hour, aren't we?
We are indeed. We are indeed. Against the odds, Trump is on the verge of the White House, perhaps. And we've got some expert analysis to go along with that. And also, we're heading stateside, I believe.
Yeah, we're going to see the support for Trump, as well as an interview with a female Trump voter, hopefully.
Sounds interesting.
But now we're going to go over to the news with the latest updates with Jeff Buckridge.
Thank you very much, Chloe. The first poll projections are in, with Kentucky and Indiana turning red for Trump and Vermont coming in for Clinton, giving Trump an expected early lead in the Electoral College votes. Durham in North Carolina has extended its poll by 16 minutes in two precincts due to computer problems. Three other states are too early to call at the moment. Los Angeles County Sheriff's Captain Jeff Scroggin has reported one person dead after a shooting at 2 p.m. local time in Azusa, California. Two people were being treated for injuries, and Scroggin has told the LA Times that police are dealing with at least one suspect who is heavily armed. A nearby school and two polling stations issued a lockdown amidst the shooting on 4th Street and Orange Avenue as a precaution. And finally, a spokesperson for George Bush, has said that the former Republican president didn't vote for either Clinton or Trump in this election.
Well, thanks for that, Jeff. Well, for the next quarter of an hour, we're going to be focusing on the man who needs no introduction, does he? Does he, Chuck?
Absolutely not.
Total and complete shutdown of Muslims entering the United States.
Working, building, restoring together. We are one country, one people, and we will have together one great, fantastic future. In 8 days, we are going to win the great state of Michigan, and we are going to win back the White House. We're going to build it. Real change begins with immediately repealing and replacing Obamacare. We're going to get you something so good. Hillary Clinton wants to double down on Obamacare, making it even more expensive. Together, I'd like to talk about the new American future that we are going to create as a team together. We will make America strong again.
And we're now joined by our pundits, Jack and Tom, who have specialised on the Trump campaign. So as we heard at the end of that clip, Ryan, the tagline of Trump's bid has been Make America Great Again. But has he made it clear to the voters how he's going to do this?
Good morning, to start with.
Good morning.
I really don't like this idea of Trump's whole tagline, Make America Great Again. Like, he's focused a hell of a lot of his campaign around this headline grabbing stuff. Like, it's so much, it's all about trying to get this sort of passionate nationalistic feeling going amongst the Republican voters, and even some swing voters beyond that. It's trying to invoke an emotional response, I think, with what he's saying there. And when you actually get down to it, and when he's actually been questioned more specifically on what that actually means, he's very, very vague. And what can that mean? You know, there's very, very little theory or anything that can actually quantify what it would take to make America great. Like, okay, it's such a huge, complex issue that he can't just make these statements out like that and expect people to then actually be able to logically analyse them.
So you think a mere piece of propaganda then, really, and just part of the whole Trump image?
Yeah, and that's part of everything that he does, really. He is an image, he is a character in himself. Like, you know, he plays to this.
Okay.
So, Jack, we've also got Jack as well, one of our other pundits. So how much do you think of an impact did the sexual assault allegations against Trump have had on his chance of winning tonight, do you think?
I mean, obviously, he's had a lot of coverage, the sexual assault allegations, but personally, I don't think they've had that much of an impact. I mean, for me, I'm not too bothered about what he has to say from 10 years ago. I know a lot of people are, and it's been used against him, but it was said 10 years ago, and back then, he wasn't in the running for president. If he had said that in recent weeks or recent months, then okay, fair enough. but because it was 10 years ago, it doesn't personally bother me. And he classified it as locker room talk. You might be quick to shrug that off, but if we're being honest, that is what happens in a locker room at times. You can't deny that. Generally, it's what boys do. It's what they do. You can't deny that. Has it had an effect? It probably had a minor effect, maybe. But I think once you're supporting Trump, you're supporting Trump. You're not going to change your mind. So for me, I wouldn't say it's had too much of an impact.
Thank you very much for that, you two. And now we're heading over the pond, I believe, to our correspondent live. Good evening, Adam.
Good evening.
Carrying on from that, Adam, regardless of the result tonight, do you think it's fair to say Trump has made, you know, a real impact on US politics in the long term?
Absolutely, yeah. I was actually discussing this earlier on today. No matter what happens tonight, even if Trump doesn't win, he has installed his political beliefs in a lot of young Americans tonight. And I think in maybe 10, 20 years, we're going to see someone like Trump running again.
Okay, and could you give us a real idea for the atmosphere and support over there in Washington?
Yeah, the atmosphere is quite calm again. We haven't seen anything too unexpected. The support for Trump is again quite expected. Kentucky and Indiana both going to Trump. But as I said, it's nothing special, nothing crazy. It's all been expected, and really waiting for that big change maybe that will come with Florida that can really blow this whole thing open.
So how do you think Trump has made it this far then, as he's projected to won 19 votes so far?
I think, quite honestly, he's chipped into a lot of people's fears about the state of their country. And he's dumped a lot of the blame on certain groups of people that live in America, and it's just worked. He's really, really, really chipped into their fear.
Okay, Adam, and from your experiences so far in Washington, is there any particular category of people that you've notably seen out there supporting Trump? You know, there's been a lot of the talk about the Hispanic vote, the African-American vote.
Yeah, he's got a lot of blue-collar votes, which I think is easily understandable. It's, again, not to keep going back to it, it's very much like Brexit. He's got those blue-collar voters who have lost their belief in the political system.
Okay, and do you think there's any particular reason why people are supporting Trump? Have you gauged that from any conversations you may have had in Washington?
It's difficult because obviously we are in a very, very much so blue state. I think, as I said earlier on, it's just fear. I think he really has chipped into people's fear, and people are scared to not vote for him. I feel like people think they can't afford not to vote Trump.
So you're at the University of Maryland at the moment, and what are the students' view on Trump? Since you've probably been talking to a lot of students at the moment about it, so what is their view on the whole Trump-Hillary situation?
Well, to be perfectly honest, he's not a very popular figure amongst the students. He seems to have really been ignoring a lot of the real issues that students are facing at the moment. I think most students here at the University of Maryland, at least, are very much pro-Clinton.
And Adam, have you seen any of the infamous Trump propaganda out on your travels? I know you said it was a blue state, but have you seen any of the famous red hats?
We've seen a few red hats. We've seen a few signs as well. A surprising amount of signs, actually. We actually saw some local students here at the University of Maryland trying to take down the Trump signs, and being stopped by other students and ripping them up. We got handed a piece of paper earlier on, and we saw some student rip it up. He didn't want to hear anything about Trump, but we've seen a bit of his propaganda. We've seen quite a few signs, which is, as I say, quite surprising in this blue state.
And so it's forecasted a large turnout tonight. How much do you think Trump has had an influence on that, and the engagement levels we've seen across the United States and excitement building up to this monumental day, really?
Yeah, he's made it a very unconventional election and very unconventional build-up. We haven't really heard much about his politics. We've heard a lot of digs, really. It's become a who can one-up the other, and I think that's probably why a lot of young people especially are taking quite a big interest in this election, because it's become very unconventional.
Okay, and do you think the whole one-up, one-down vibe between Trump and Clinton, do you think that's advantaged Trump in the way that he's almost brought down Clinton to his immaturities and name-calling?
Absolutely, yeah. He's brought Clinton down to his level, and I think that's probably a mistake, actually, in the long run. If we see Donald Trump become president tonight, I think we might look at that as a mistake by Clinton. If she had just ignored Trump, didn't go down to his level, maybe it might have turned out different. But obviously, we don't know for now, but he has brought her down to his level, and I think that's where Trump will thrive.
That's great. Thanks for talking to us, Adam. We'll probably hear from you a bit later on in the night. But now we're going to let's hear from a man who's written a book about the Republican candidate.
Yeah, so Tom O'Brien, he's written this book, Trump Nation, The Art of Being Donald Trump. And he's tried to sue O'Brien, I believe, for $5 billion.
$5 billion.
Yeah,
wow.
Trump figures. A decade ago, but it was thrown out of court. So he subsequently released an updated version of this book, and he's been speaking to Montclair's university head of media, I believe, Merrill Brown. So yeah, he's going to give us a little insight about the campaign and the prospect of him making it into the Oval Office.
Honestly, nothing that's occurred in the campaign to date surprises me about him. There's appalling incidents, obviously. You know, his now infamous quote about, you know, grabbing women by their genitals, and the statements he's made about his competitors, both in the Republican Party and the Democratic Party, always surprise, I think, with some of their shamelessness. But the Donald Trump, I think, who's campaigned by and large over the last year, is the Donald Trump we've always known. Where I've felt the revelations have been more in what his candidacy says about the country, and some of the things that his candidacy and the Trump virus, for lack of a better term, have revealed about the state of affairs in the United States. He's been a fairly aggressive race baiter, and race and racial relations obviously were a front burner issue before this campaign. How women are treated and thought of in the United States has been put out in front in this campaign. Immigration, our relationship with foreign countries, whether it's Russia or China, have been put front and center. And I think he's forced voters and the American public to think about, I think, you know, what is the U.S.'s identity in the world and at home?
How do you think, as a citizen and as a journalist, about the prospects for a Trump presidency?
Well, I think a Trump presidency is something that should give people pause. He's spoken very willy-nilly about nuclear weapons. He said he wants to rearm Japan. He wants to rearm South Korea. He's been sort of flagrantly ignorant and a bit of a sock puppet for Russia and Vladimir Putin. So I think we'd have to worry in a Trump presidency about how foreign policy would be conducted and where he would be on issues like the use of nuclear weapons. Domestically, he's said very misinformed things about how he would handle the federal debt, how he would weigh in on fiscal and monetary policy. Again, as in many areas, he's not a deeply informed student of public policy. You'd have someone entering the White House who would probably be the most deeply conflicted president in modern history. We know that he's used some of this campaign already to promote his business operations. I think he'd have very few qualms about using the Oval Office as a springboard for promoting his businesses as robustly as he could. And most of the federal conflict of interest law does not apply to the president, so he'd have a lot of latitude to do that. In terms of the day-to-day management of the federal bureaucracy in the White House, which he would oversee, he's never been an effective manager in his business life. The Trump Organization is not a Fortune 500 enterprise. It's a boutique operation with handsome but relatively modest revenue. And the biggest operation he ever had to oversee were his Atlantic City casinos, and he made a hash out of those. He's got a very short attention span. He has never historically surrounded himself with top-tier advisors or listened to them when he has. And he'd bring those faults with him into the White House as a manager.
So Montclair Uni's head of media, Merrill Brown, talking about the Trump campaign there. Chloe, do you honestly think he can do it tonight? What do you reckon? Early days, but...
It's early days, but there's a lot of red on that board, and I'm not quite sure how it's going to go. But I know in my heart that I think Hillary might win just because of how many votes she could win in California and other states like that. It just depends on those swing states.
Those swing states, that which everyone's been talking about, of course. And we saw in the 2012 election that how important they really were, Obama taking them. And yeah, so we'll be keeping an eye out on that, and Clinton to come as well in our next little bit. But now back to TV, and you're listening to USA Votes 2016.